Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's BadPod 260. It's not normal BadPod 260, though, guys, because Phil, I'm afraid, is in Glasgow. And he's not on the run, nor has he moved to Glasgow. Sadly, the charms of that fair city have not seduced him yet. Phil is in Glasgow filming... Phil's in Glasgow filming a reality show where a bunch of people who are extremely not Scottish have to pretend to be Scottish. And you last as long as a predetermined group of 10 Scottish people vote to keep you in, as it were. They don't know they're on a show. They just get asked by the TV show anonymously, hey, you know how we're following 11 of you? Which of you do you think seems the least Scottish? And as long as you can keep a majority on side, then, you know, anyway, you'll all know this. It will have aired by now. But Phil is attempting to win the series and the £10,000 prize or best offer for a used Skoda Fabia. With only 10 miles on the clock, he's going for Glaswegian taxi driver. So he's going for one of the toughest jobs. And his angle is to just absolutely swear down to the face of anyone in the cab that he is, to quote Phil, I've seen the Rushes, born and bred Glasgow, or Glasgow. I've seen him say both, which I don't know, it could hurt his chances. It depends if he's gauged the passenger ride. So yeah. So yes, anyway, the point is that he's off filming in Glasgow, this crazy new reality show. And so... what we're going to do is we're going to do an old bonus pod for you guys. The big news for me is that as of today, as I record this, or I guess kind of yesterday as you hear this, I have a book coming out. Excuse me. I've got a book being published. I got my autism diagnosis about 2 years ago. I don't know if you guys, I assume you know that, but you might not. It's been very interesting. I've learned a lot about myself, blah de blah. I've put this on Instagram already, so I feel stupid repeating it, but I know I should. Basically, I thought to myself, after I'd done the research, I cannot believe how little I knew about autism or what used to be called Asperger's syndrome as well. It's all autism now. Anyway. I had a friend at school with Asperger's, and I just had no idea. I just had absolutely no idea what it was or what it meant or anything like that. And I was a real nerd, and it turns out I have it. So if I didn't know, then, you know, who is going to know? Anyway, I thought to myself, I've done all this research, I've read all these books about it, but... none of the books that were informative were funny, and none of the books that were funny were very broad. I mean, loads of them were hilarious, but they were very, like, specific memoirs. So I thought to myself, what if I wrote something that was like a kind of very broad guide to autism or the autistic spectrum now as it stands, and I could make it as funny as possible. I could put funny stories in or funny anecdotes or whatever thoughts, opinions of mine. And maybe, you know, comedy is much better at getting people informed than anything serious. So the two dream scenarios are people who relate to what I'm saying, if you're diagnosed autistic or not, they read it and they get a good laugh out of it, right? For them, it's like observational comedy. It's like Michael McIntyre, Jerry Seinfeld. They can read it and they can go, yes, me too. And that's nice. But also, hopefully, people with no need to learn about autism or who aren't directly affected by it also read it, and they, again, hopefully laugh or have an enjoyable time reading it. But they also, you know, learn something they wouldn't have otherwise learned, because I understand that it's a lot to ask for someone to read a book about a particular condition, you might say, that has nothing to do with them. I mean, we're all very busy. I'm not, but you know, you guys are. Normal people are. So I thought maybe if I made it funny, then people would inform themselves. Well, we'll see. Anyway, the reason I'm saying this, the link will be in the description of the episode. I'll put it in the website link of the episode, whatever that means. You can pre-order it now. It only comes out on the 18th of July, but you can pre-order it now, and I'll let you guys into a little secret. Okay? The publishing world is a little, it's not dodgy, but it's very different to what I thought. Basically, if you guys pre-order it before it comes out, all of those sales count as the first week. So, you know, if everyone who listened to Bud Pod pre-ordered it before the first week, it would look like I was like Dan Brown, you know, a new fucking Da Vinci Code. So everyone is very keen for that to happen, and I suppose I am as well. So if you can pre-order it, that would be great. Ebook and hardback count towards the pre-sales. For stupid 1990s reasons, audiobooks don't for some reason. But I do, obviously, in this format, recommend the audiobook too. I'm speaking to you through audio. There will be extra content on the audiobook. So, you know, it's a conflicting time. But yes, the book is out. You can pre-order it. It's on my Instagram. It's on my Linktree. It's on my face. It's in my dreams. It's already written. Don't worry about that. It's all done. It's proofread. I'm going to get some physical copies to send to people, maybe next week or so, which is very surreal, very strange. I wrote it while I was on tour, so I should say to any podbuds who met me last autumn, if I seemed exhausted and weird, that's why. And also Koji, I should say Koji to anyone who has come to the Soho Theatre shows. They've been great. They're still going till Saturday of this week when this comes out. They've all been sold out. It's been great. I've sometimes said Koji during the show, sometimes not. But I can always tell a pod bud. And I've met a few of you guys afterwards. And as always, always a very delightful, fetching crowd. Thank you very much for buying your tickets, etc. But yes, so Phil is pretending to be a Glaswegian taxi driver. You guys are about to get treated to an all bonus pod. I believe it is. Let me double check. I think it's 257's bonus pod. Is it though? Let me see. It is. Yes. Yes, it's 257's bonus pod. So if you can remember the episode 257, it's the bonus pod of that. I mean, what more do you need to know? And Patreon people will, whether they like it or not, I'm afraid, be being treated to a one-on-one podcast. So, hopefully they enjoy that. They may not, but by God, it's what's happening. So yes, pre-order the book. And follow me on Instagram, blah, blah, blah. Phil is going to be on, I don't know if that's publicly announced, actually. I think it is. Let's check Phil's Instagram to see if I'm legally allowed to tell you. And it's not about the three-body problem. It is about... Yes, it is. Oh, thank God. Okay, it's a special taping. The final ever show of Wang and Their Baby. It's on the 26th of April at the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse, which is the candle-lit Royal Shakespeare Company Playhouse attached to the Globe. I've done an Edinburgh preview in there myself. It's a beautiful room. Very wooden and very old-seeming. So that's the 26th of April, 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Like all good specials, you need two takes. For the sake of the edit. Anyway, enjoy the bonus part episode. Pre-order the book if you like the sound of it. Nothing in the book has been said on stage or I think on the podcast. I mean, maybe some opinions, but no specific stories. And it does get quite in depth. And if you're wondering about why people say Asperger's syndrome or autism or one versus the other, that's chapter 3, baby. So it's very informative. Anyway, see you guys next week, hopefully, and Koji.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's Bonus Pod 257.
You turn up at your hotel in the tropical islands.
Oh.
They're just called the tropical islands. They're off the coast of East Africa. And you heard about these tropical islands. They in the recent months have become the new hot place to go on holiday. Literally hot too, but also metaphorically speaking. And you got yourself an all-inclusive... I had a bit chip crisp in my tooth. You get yourself an all-inclusive holiday to resort there. It's called the Shining Sun Resort. And you land and you get off the plane. The flights are included, part of the deal. That's what's great about these all-inclusives, you say to yourself. That's what's great about them is you don't have to worry about, you don't have to think, it's all handled for you. All the little annoying bits that usually go with the holiday are all handled for you by the touring company, which is called PP Playtime. It's called PP Playtime. And you get in your little shuttle, you go down to the hotel, and you're driven through like not the best country you've ever seen, to be completely honest with yourself. There's problems here. You can tell the bus driver's really whizzing you past the problems of this country, this very small country. And you sort of, after a while, it gets too depressing. You just kind of look downwards at the seat in front of you and you just stay staring there. But then eventually the driver goes, look up, and you look up and it's your beautiful resort, the Shining Sun Resort. There's a big sign that says Shining Sun, and you drive under the arches, it's a Shining Sun, and you disembark and you look up, this beautiful white building towering above you, and all these happy campers, happy holiday makers running around. Wow. And a bellhop comes up to you and says, may I help you with your luggage? And you say, oh, I don't really have any cash on me. And he goes, oh, don't worry, it's all included. And you go, oh, of course it is. Thank you. You hand him your suitcase and you go into the lobby. And it's a beautiful, cool, air-conditioned lobby. A bit of relief from the hot temperatures outside. And you walk up to the beautiful marble check-in desk. And a very elegant lady says, welcome to Shining Sun Resort. What's your name? I'll look up your booking. And you go, I'm Podbud, Mr. or Miss Podbud. And she puts in Podbud. Ah, Mr. and Miss Podbud, we've been expecting you. We've been looking forward to your visit. Yes, I understand you have the all-inclusive experience booked with us. And you go, yes, I'm not sure what that means. I've never had one before. And she goes, oh, you'll understand pretty soon. You'll understand. Her voice goes real deep suddenly. She goes, you'll understand really soon. You'll understand. So breakfast is about 8 to 10 a.m. Lunch is from 1 to 3 p.m. And dinner is all night long. And you go, wow, can I go to lunch now? And she goes, sure, tuck in. Oh, here you go, just take this. And she hands you a silver bracelet made of real silver. And she puts it over your wrist and she goes, for your entire stay, you have to keep this on, okay? She's looking you straight in the eye. You realize at this point she hasn't blinked the whole time you've been speaking to her. And she claps this around your wrist and you go, oh, wait a second, it's just, and then little sharp teeth come out from the inside of the bracelet into your skin. And, and she goes, hey, yeah, it might sting a little. It's just to make sure, you know, we don't want you sharing this thing around and other people getting the all-inclusive experience for free, you understand? You'll be fine. It's only in skin deep, the injury. And you go, yeah, that's fine. So lunch is downstairs. Yeah, lunch is downstairs. And you go downstairs. You go downstairs. And you're going to the restaurant. And before you is the most incredible buffet you've ever seen. It goes on for meters and meters and meters. You can't see the end of this thing. And it's every cuisine in the world. Japanese, Italian. There's pizza. There's a roast dinner section with pork crackling. There's noodles, fresh wok-toss noodles. There's a Chinese guy, he's a Chinese chef, and he's got a big hot wok, and he's throwing noodles up in the air. You can get as much as you like. And there's a milkshake bar, and ice cream, and a big oven, and there's a French bakery chef, and he's pulling out these beautiful, perfect baguettes, and you go, oh my God, you're running around, you're filling your plate with all this delicious food, and it's heaping up, and up, and up, and up. And you take it over to a new table, a fresh table, and you sit down, and you pick up your fork and knife, and you lick your lips,
no.
Yum, 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 and you hear Pierre going, no, no. You said, that's definitely Pierre Novelli's voice, and you turn around, and Pierre is standing over you going, no, no. And he says, have you paid for that? And you look up at Pierre and you go, well, yes, it's all inclusive. And you show him your wristband. And Pierre goes, yeah, well, it might be all inclusive, but you haven't paid yet. And you go, I don't understand. And then Phil turns up at your other shoulder and he goes, just because it's all inclusive doesn't mean you don't have to pay. And you go, okay, I mean, it seems a bit ridiculous, but you reach for your wallet and we both go, not with that. And Pierre takes out of his pocket a glass vial, and Phil grabs your left arm that the wristband is on, and you go, hey, what are you doing? And Phil hovers your wrist over this glass vial, and Phil squeezes the bracelet, and the teeth go deeper into your arm, and a little drop of blood collects at the bottom of the bracelet and drops into the glass vial. And Pierre goes, there you are, that wasn't so hard, was it? Enjoy your lunch. Also, the gym is not great, but not many people here use it. So I think it all balances out. Welcome to Bonus Pod.
Nice. That's good stuff. I liked my natural reactions being incorporated into the story.
Yeah.
I liked the description of driving through not the best country you've ever seen. And then they're going, there are problems. And the classic, so many holiday destinations, Phil, where the bus driver from the airport to the resort or destination is doing, or feels like he's doing his best to drive you really quickly past the problems.
That exactly. It's the least
good
can
description.
Do. It's the least it can do.
Do you have any spice? You got any... Got any Chinese five spice for us, Phil?
My spice is, well, Pierre, I've been playing. Oh no, I think I'll save this for a later date. This will be maybe next week's spice. This week's spice is, This week's spice is. I think phones are too fun now, and I haven't read a book in a long time. I've been halfway through the same book for like months now, and I love it. I love this book. I think it's so interesting. Every time I read this book, it's so interesting.
What is it?
I'm embarrassed because you're going to say, what? You told me about that book 6 months ago. I don't want to say. But it's a book I've already told you about.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm still reading it.
But hang on. What is so fun about phones? What's getting you on your phone?
Because I'm playing that New York Times games app. You know the New York Times? They've got a very lucrative side hustle hawking out their word puzzle games on your phone. So the main trio is the Wordle, which they bought for I think they literally bought it for $1 million, which is like an evil amount of money to pay for anything. What is it? Exactly $1 million.
Exactly $1 million.
The most suspicious amount to pay for something.
Yeah, do you think...
$1 million.
Do you think if you have a British bank account and exactly $1 million goes into it, you just get arrested?
Yeah, they're like, this is definitely not above board.
The police just go, oh, what, did you earn exactly $1 million doing something nice?
Unlikely.
Unlikely, my lad.
$1 million. So you got your Wordle on there.
Yeah.
And then you got your mini, which is a mini crossword, which is like a crossword but very small. And it's a lot of fun because I'm too dumb for the normal crossword. And then there's the connections where you have to, you're given a grid of 16 words and you have to come up with four collections of four words that they all have to do with each other, that they can be in the same category together.
Right.
And it's a lot harder than you think, but it's very satisfying when you get it.
So you haven't finished a book because you're a pensioner. You're spending your free time the way that a pensioner would.
Exactly. I'm spending my time playing games, puzzles, word puzzles, and then I go on chess.com and I do the chess puzzles there. I'm getting better at playing fewer games.
I was about to say, Phil, this reminds me of the dark days of your chess.com addiction on your phone.
I got it off my phone. I'm still playing chess online on my laptop, but it's not as bad as it has been. So I think my spicy take is that we should take games off of the internet so that I can finish my book.
But why can't you just set aside, say to yourself, this next hour or two is reading book time?
Shut up. Shut up. What are you talking about? You can't do that. No one has ever done that. People talk about doing that, but no one has actually ever done it.
Yeah, you might be right, actually. Now that you said that, I'm doubting myself, my argument. It's hard to read books. I'm a hypocrite here because I've got like a pack of books. A pack of books? Is that right? A pack of books? A pile of books. That I've been bought that I'm like, wow, this would be so interesting. Da 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 da, and it just stays there.
I know. For me, books and wine occupy a similar space, and I love going to bookshop, I love going into wine shop, I love buying something that I'm never going to get to because I don't actually drink enough to get through my wine, and I certainly don't read enough to get through my books. And now that I'm a published author, it turns out one of the rewards / curses of being a published author is that you just get sent loads and loads of proof copies of new books. Maybe they want a little quote, maybe they dislike you to want to read it, but now I've just got piles and piles and piles of books that I'm never going to read. I'm going to have to do a Ringo Starr style, love and peace, no more books.
This is an official announcement. I'll not be reading any more books.
That's it, yeah. This is your last warning. Love and peace.
War and peace. I will not be reading. Okay, well, that's, yeah, I mean, I haven't made time to read my stupid big pile of books, but I will say this, Phil.
Hmm.
Buying wine and not drinking it makes you seem even more sophisticated, but buying books and not reading them makes you seem dumber.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? You're right.
It's the other way around.
Yeah, wine is sophisticated to hoard.
Yeah.
Books are dumb to hoard.
If unread.
If unread, yes. Yeah. Because I suppose with not drinking wine, the implication is that you are resisting temptation.
I can not only choose the most delicious thing, I can also not have it. Ooh. Like just having a full Easter egg in all of your pockets at all times and never opening them. People go, my God, those Easter eggs have been in there for years.
Yeah, and I think, and it also appeals to people who are very good at pleasure. Was it pleasure delaying? Gratification delay?
Delayed
gratification.
Yeah.
And you know, this is interesting, which is a mentally healthy thing to say about your own thought.
Yeah.
But you know that psychological experiment they did on the kids where
the marshmallow.
They said, yes, you can have one marshmallow now, or if you leave it for 5 minutes, we'll give you two.
And then when there was the two groups, there were the kids who waited 5 minutes to get the second marshmallow. And they were the kids who put the marshmallow up their ass.
That's right.
Right? Those were the two groups.
And this all happened in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But then they followed them and throughout their lives, not just like in the bushes, but they followed them throughout their lives. And supposedly the kids who were able to wait lived more successful or like wealthier lives because they were better at delaying gratification if it meant getting more. And I wonder if kids were good at the kids were good at delayed gratification got into things like collections, wines.
You think they were
wines.
Yeah, restrained little dorks.
Yeah, of course.
Ah, maybe.
Because there's a pleasure to holding onto something and thinking about it gaining value or flavor.
Yes, but they also those kids would make terrible day traders.
Ah, because that's all about being real quick. And
speed,
not,
speed. Don't get too attached. Move, move, move.
Yeah.
There are lines of work where they would be very unsuitable. You need both. You need both. You need marshmallow hungry lunatics.
Ah, for the day traders.
Move fast and break things.
The shorters. That's Facebook's motto, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to disrupt marshmallows.
I've never looked at Facebook and thought, wow, this is fast living. These guys move fast.
That incredibly pale, narrow-faced man is the fastest, most dangerous guy I've ever seen. To be fair, it is moving fast and breaking things to suddenly decide to spend a kishmish million dollars on making a shit version of the game Second Life. It's very funny.
Yeah, that's really funny.
It's so funny.
I don't think he ever thought he'd break his own bank account. I don't think that was ever considered part of the...
Break some records for amount of money wasted on a fucking crap idea.
Well, is that, or democracies. They broke a lot of democracies.
They broke the elections.
Is that what they meant? They broke with the country of Myanmar, basically. I've told you this, right?
Yeah.
When you go to Myanmar, you buy a phone in Myanmar, the guy in the shop will make a Facebook profile for you. People in Myanmar, you can't have a phone without having Facebook. And I think the Rohingya crisis started with a lot of anti-Rohingya hate being whipped up on Facebook in Myanmar.
And now they have a running civil war where people are using 3D printed plastic guns to take on the Myanmar military.
Woof.
And they're actually doing pretty well.
Woof.
So it's very dystopian. Thank you, Mark. I can't believe this
Thanks
all started with you rating sexy ladies at your college.
It's so funny, isn't it? Isn't that incredible?
It's like if someone invented an app for that, like, you know, tracked your fucking bowel movements for you, and the app ended up being used to like destabilize the Uzbekistan fucking minerals industry. It's just such an insane.
Well, the trajectories of these technologies usually, almost always, start out flippantly. I mean, electricity. When electricity was first discovered, it was used mainly for parlor tricks. It was like guys who understood a bit about static electricity would tour dinner parties and do little tricks. Of, oh, look how this sticks to here. And look at this little zap. Oh. And people were like, oh, this is a fun little toy. And then electricity became the foundation of the modern world. And what else? Don't tell me it's only... Oh, like... deepfake technology started off in porn and now is being used to impersonate politicians.
Oh, and man. We live in a... you know, here's my hot take. Turn it all off.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
It's a similar hot take to mine, but yours is more, even more broader range. Mine's just turning off the games. Yeah. Yours is turn all of it off. As in all of the internet or all of technology?
The internet. And then Bad Pod will be on the radio. We'll start a pirate radio station.
Oh, nice.
And it'll just be radio forever and ever. It'll be that. Turn it off. Turn it off. No one should have a special cube in their pocket that lets them buy Bitcoin and see porn and order groceries. Mm. It's too much.
Has a society in world history ever reverted technologically for its own good? The Luddites, I suppose, would.
They did their best, but they lost. Ah, look at all the spinning jennies out there.
So, what happened with the Luddites? Was it in Germany, the Luddites?
No, it was UK.
The Luddites. Oh, UK.
UK Luddites. So,
and they were a group of people who thought technology had gone too far. The spinning jenny.
They were smashing up like weaving machines and stuff, from my vague recollection.
And was it like a work union related sort of reasoning,
I don't think they had unions of any sort that we would recognize back then. I think it was more just like, well, one weaving machine is worth like 800 people sat weaving in their house, so this is insane. This cannot be. So we'll smash them up. It's bad. To do this. I don't like the idea of being a Luddite, but I just also can't help but feel. It's just so insane to me that it's taking so long for the government to just remember that it's in charge and can at any point just say, okay, you can't do that anymore. It's bad.
Well, from time to time, it does make those steps, like with vaping.
Yeah, but it's so...
But you want more!
It's always in the physical realm, you know?
That's true.
It's because our political class are so old and out of touch that if you tell them that there's a problem and it's digital, they just go, oh, is that on the Google? And then just any idea of progress goes out the window.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, cyberbullying existed for like, what, 14, 15 years before someone started saying, my grandchildren say that there's this thing. Like, then the word appeared on Radio 4 fucking 15 years after it first started.
Yeah. Yeah, very slow.
The time lag is crazy. I think, there's my spicy take. There has to be a member of the cabinet at all times that is an internet-addicted 17-year-old.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And they're like a warning from history or from the future.
But how are they going to do any work if they're addicted to the internet?
Their work is to be in that room and to deeply unsettle the people in charge.
Okay.
So everyone's discussing around the cabinet table, and then the cabinet has to talk to that 17-year-old for an hour.
And just a 17-year-old girl there, just like jittering and pale.
And they're just saying, what's going on? Anxious. And they go, sorry, I just need to, I was getting all these Snapchats and checking in with a young person. And they say, sorry, I'm really stressed because I took a selfie at my grandfather's deathbed and people were really mean about my eyes. And everyone goes, hang on, wait, slow down. You know, I think the government should be both more across technology and more afraid of it.
Well, the government certainly does seem afraid of technology, but only in the sort of complainy old man kind of way.
They just go, oh, it's very worrying, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Whereas if a 17-year-old in that room just said, "Ha, guys, it's so funny. Check this out. I made deep fakes of all of you sucking off Osama bin Laden. I did it in 10 seconds. I used AI. Ha ha ha," and just passed out, like airdropped them all that image, and they all went, "Oh my god, how did you do that?" Just, you know. Rather than waiting 7 years for a Radio 4 reporter to ask them a question about it on the Today program.
Yeah, I think this is a good hot take.
Yeah, and for the Radio 4 reporter to go, deepfake is a bit like Photoshop. But done by a sort of robot, where you could just tell they're doing their best to get something modern across to their listeners as they spoon marmalade onto their breakfast somewhere in the Cotswolds, which is in my head where every Radio 4 listener lives.
So the 17-year-old, are they in the cabinet?
They are an observer in cabinet. They're not a minister.
Not a minister. Okay.
They're a bit like a SPAD or maybe a civil servant.
Do they have to be an... Okay, they don't have to be an MP.
No.
It's not a ministerial. Okay.
No, you can hire a SPAD. You can have a SPAD or you can... Because, no, in fact, you know what? It has to be a civil servant because otherwise parties will just hire 17-year-olds they like Rees-Mogg's creepy children.
Yeah.
And they'll just be like, time to check in with the nation's youth. And they'll go over to this fucking time-traveling looking spooky kid and...
It's like, we need to legislate against the dangers of the wheels that you knock down the road with a stick.
Yeah. He'll just say things like really unsettling stuff that his dad's clearly told him to say. I'm told that we should be worried about bauxite reserves. They go, right, and that's something your generation was worried about. Yes. And then he looks over at Rees-Mogg and Rees-Mogg just nods slightly. You've done well,
boy. There'll be extra rice pudding for you at the manor later.
Well, speaking of dirty little boys and dirty little girls who've done well, we should read some Vipco.
Fucking A.
Fucking A. Hoorah!
Back to our... our old chat where we talk about the farticles in the bathroom.
The farticles?
The poo particles, what are the particles? The toilets.
Oh, yeah, the poo particles floating about in the air. Yep, after a flush.
Yeah, Sarah from Ohio says, what does she say?
Do you know in Japanese, Ohio is good morning?
Eh?
It's very fun to say Ohio, because you're saying Ohio to people in the morning, but you're also saying a state.
Oh. I would have come across that by now. That's bizarre.
Everyone knows konnichiwa.
Yeah, a state called Hiya. So Sarah says, Morning. That's where I'm from.
Yeah, I live in Birmingham. Morning.
Says, dear poo and farticles, as to the issue of poo particles floating around in the bathroom stink, I think I have the answer. I'm not a chemist, but I am a pathologist with some microbiology knowledge. The smell is from the gases.
Pathologist studies like the spread of germs.
Eh?
Does a pathologist specialize in the spread of germs?
I thought a pathologist was... Oh, no, wait. Am I thinking of the wrong type of dead body pathologist?
It's like pathogen.
Oh.
Pathology.
Causes and effects of diseases.
Yeah.
Especially one who examines laboratory samples of body tissue for diagnostic or forensic purposes. So it is a pathologist at a postmortem.
CSI.
The smell is produced is from the gases produced by the bacteria within both you and poo. And the smell can linger as long as the gases remain concentrated, such as in a small bathroom. But the actual bacteria are not necessarily there.
Right, so you're not necessarily going to get sick.
Yeah, unless
off a stinky smell.
Yeah, unless aerosolized, I think the bacteria are too big to be hanging about in the air waiting for Phil to fill his cup from the bathroom tap.
Oh, phew.
Yeah.
Well, that is a relief.
It is a relief. That being said, the fact that you do not have to multitask multiple errands such as hydration, eating, and email checking into your bathroom trips tells me that you have no children or pets.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Very true, Sarah.
I think sometimes when I'm really busy and I think this is the least hectic it'll ever be. And I already feel like I don't have any time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh, indeed. And quickly, one from Louise.
Louise. Poo and wheeze. Poo wheeze.
Yeah. good day to you, fine purveyors of poop.
Good day.
Your last, and this is a while ago, episode unleashed a tsunami of trauma that had until now been constipated inside my brain. Cast your minds back to a magical time known as pre-Brexit. Sit.
Good time.
Yeah.
Spectre had just come out.
Oh, hadn't it just? obviously back in those heady days of the free world, makes the hedonistic adventure my mother and I embarked on was appropriate and encouraged. What? Makes it? I think she's saying this was made more sense back in those heady free days.
Right.
On an adventure to the fine and vibrant metropolis of Brighton, my female parental unit and myself decided to take in the local culture. A bottomless
female parental unit meaning mum.
Hey, mum, yes. A bottomless brunch drag queen cabaret.
Whoa, where was this again?
Brighton, baby.
Brighton, of course, is Brighton.
I was going to say, where else, yeah. Philip?
Where else could it be?
It wasn't in Maidenhead. a bottomless brunch drag queen cabaret. Across from us was a lady wearing a halter neck one-piece jumpsuit. Right?
What's halter neck?
A halter neck one-piece jumpsuit. Brackets, Phil, you may wish to cast your mind back to the yellow jumpsuit from Taskmaster to remember the many inconveniences such an outfit can bring out on a daily basis.
Yes, I can remember. Going to the toilet was a bit of a nightmare.
Well, hold on to your hats, Phil.
Ah, here we go.
After much pop fizz clinking and curdled hollandaise sauce, we noticed that jumpsuit had disappeared.
Okay.
We thought little on it and assumed that the tongue-in-cheek blue humour was too much for this fellow culture vulture. We were wrong. I excused myself, leaving Mum clapping and singing along to the show, only to find a show of my own. Apologies if you hear any robot noises. There's a machine in my wall. It's too long to explain it any more than that. I excused myself, heading towards a cubicle that was ajar in the bathroom. I pushed the door open and found it was obstructed by a foot.
Oh. No, you cannot come in. No.
I obviously put on my best okay thank you voice and muttered, oh, sorry, and went to find another pee-pee palace. But my grey matter had taken a few seconds to buffer. Must be all those eggs. And I thought, hang on. That foot was the wrong way up. That's a good little mystery thing.
What?
That's an upside down
foot.
So
like the sole of the foot was facing upwards?
Yeah, or the heel was uppermost, not toes.
Curiouser and curiouser.
I went back and spoke to the upturned foot. Are you okay? That's always the way people say it. Are you okay? Slightly afraid, but a bit concerned.
Are you okay? Hello, you okay in there? Yeah.
Nothing, no response. So I announced that I was coming in and pushed the door a little more forcefully. The sight before me caused me to gasp like a 50s housewife seeing a full range of Tupperware. Nice. It was jumpsuit.
Yeah, of course.
She was face down in the dunny from vomiting, naked as the jumpsuit was around her ankles.
Oh, it's all or nothing with a jumpsuit.
Yeah. Fortunately, the shock caused me to take a step back. Just before, and remember she was face down, ass up, a fountain of liquid excrement shot out of her.
No. Oh my God.
So she's gone,
utterly
are
vile.
You okay? And then pushed her way in, looking straight down the barrel of a fully nude, bent over lady's ass who's throwing up, and then just... Bleh!
Oh, God.
Just this shooting out. My God.
Oh, my God.
The coward that I am, I retreated to go find reinforcements, and fortunately for me, bumped into one of her companions outside the loo's, and I just said, your friend isn't well, and scuttled off with visions of the naked bum volcano still fresh in my mind.
Oh, God.
Koji Lou. Bloody hell.
That's insane, Lou. That's monstrous.
It's
that's
like monstrous timing. Are you okay? And then just the bum, and as you look at it, go, and take a step back.
Like, almost in reply. Are you okay? What do you think of this?
And
does
so
this
much,
answer your question?
So much of that will be going into what you might call the hammock of the jumpsuit.
Of course, Pierre.
Consider the hammock, Philip.
Awful, awful, awful.
That's the book you've been reading. Consider the hammock.
Consider the hammock, the humble hammock. Well, an amazing story, an amazing visual. Thank you so much.
Well
exactly
done.
What?
Well done for surviving and telling us too.
That's exactly what VIPCO is for.
We gotta go, baby.
We're out of time. We're out of luck. Thanks for being wonderful Patreons. We love you very much. Pierre, did you have something to
Soho Theatre, baby. 26th of
Soho
March.
Soho Theatre.
Starts 26th of March in London. Soho Theatre. Come see my show, please.
And I am around. Have a lovely week. Have a lovely week, everyone. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.